In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost, amen. This mid-September is a time in which we think about the Holy Cross of our Blessed Lord, for we have three feasts that come very close together. One is the exaltation of the Holy Cross on September 14th. The next is the seven sorrows of our Blessed Lady on the 15th. And today is the impression of the stigmata of St. Francis. And so it is a time when the Church fixes her attention in a special way to the Holy Cross. And I would like to speak to you about that today. In the exaltation of the Holy Cross, we are reminded that the essential message of the Holy Gospel is the cross of Christ. Our Blessed Lord, in His Gospel, speaks constantly of eternal life. It is the main message. But the way in which we obtain eternal life is by the patient and generous bearing of our crosses. This is what we call the economy of salvation. You have an economy if you pay something, and in return, you receive something. And the economy of salvation is the Holy Cross. It is the cross of Christ primarily and essentially, for He redeemed us. He bought us back with His blood. And if we are to participate in that redemption, we must also be crucified with Him. This is why you are signed with the sign of the cross when you are baptized. This is why you make the sign of the cross when you come into the church, before you pray. The Holy Cross is impressed upon you. It is impressed upon your head at baptism, and here, and on your shoulders. Now, why is the Holy Cross the economy of salvation? Why is suffering the way to glory? It is because sin has intervened. Original sin and actual sin. And a price had to be paid for that sin, which is the cross of Christ. Because by sin, we have bent, we have ruined the order of God. And in order for that order of God to be restored in us, we must pay a price. And we see the effects of this ruination of the order of God in us by sin when we think about our life here. The cross that is common to all of us is that we must pay the sentence of death. We must go one day and die. And that day will come, just as Christmas comes every year. That day of our death will come. We see, furthermore, this sentence of death in the daily pains that we have as we get older, in the health problems that we develop as we get older, even in our fatigue at the end of the day. Because little by little, the soul gradually separates from the body. And this separation of soul and body, this lifelessness of our body, so to speak, comes out in the form of health problems and pain. And so all of you who are over 40 know the crosses of getting older. And with each morning you find out that there are new pains to bear. Muscles that you didn't think you had. And that's the cross. the cross also comes in the sentence of tilling the soil. When Adam and Eve were expelled from paradise, they were told, "You now have to till the soil for your bread. And the earth will give up thistles to you." It will give up weeds, essentially. And you have to fight against the weeds. This was the message to Adam and Eve. And this cross of tilling the soil comes in the form of having to go to work every day. Whether it be the man of the house who must face his duties of state and life day in and day out and put in his hard work in order to put food on the table, or whether it is the woman of the house who must face her hard work, the work of the household, the work of conceiving and bearing children, the work of raising them, which is a work that never ends and goes straight into the night, and sometimes even into the middle of the night. Those mothers, those of you mothers who get up to take care of babies at night, you know that. That is the toil. That is all part of the common cross that we all bear. And if we fail to bear that cross, we fall into laziness, and we fall into dependency upon others. We live like savages. We live in squalor if we fail to bear that cross every day. And then you have your particular crosses. Maybe your own special health problems. Maybe interior emotional problems. Or problems that have been given to you by other people. Perhaps you have a spouse that has left you, or a spouse that is very difficult to live with, where every single day is a type of purgatory, putting up with the faults of someone that has a very difficult personality. Or perhaps a broken family, or family members who neglect you, or who have turned upon you. All of you can tell a story, because all of you have some peculiar cross, something proper to you. The crosses of poverty, for example, not enough money. And so the Holy Cross is there, and it is our duty to make it the Holy Cross, because those sufferings come. And that is why we celebrate the next day the Feast of the Seven Sorrows of Our Lady, the principle of these being her participation in the cross at the foot of the cross. And we celebrate this because here we see the finest possible participation in the Holy Cross. Our Blessed Lady has the best possible participation in the Holy Cross for the reason that, first of all, she had the supreme love of God, and therefore supreme union with God, supreme union with her divine Son, so that any pain that he felt, she also felt, and practically to the same degree. And so what he was going through in the pain of his body and in the shame of the crucifixion, she was feeling in her heart. When she presented our Blessed Lord in the temple, Simeon said to her, in that moment of joy at the discovery of the Christ child, nonetheless, he said to her, "A sword shall pierce thy heart." And indeed it did, the sword of uniting herself with her Son. And not only was she united to her Son by this elevated, supernatural charity, she was also united to him as her Son. He was her baby. And as you mothers know, no matter how old your children get, there is still that love that remains for that child as if it were your little baby. And so all of the human love and attachment that a mother has for her child remain in our Blessed Lady, and all of that emotion welled up in her as she beheld her son. And so she went through an inconsolable sorrow. She did not merely have a bad day. She was inconsolable in the depths of her soul. And to look at her would have made anyone break down and cry for the sorrow, the depth and the intensity of the sorrow in her soul. And yet this is her victory. We celebrate her feast in white. We say the Gloria on that day because this is her victory, because this is the day on which God permitted her to be an associate not only in the incarnation of the second person of the Blessed Trinity, but also in the redemption of the human race. And just as God gave to his Son this cross in order that he be the Redeemer of the human race, the King of Kings, with the right, even according to his sacred humanity, to come and to judge the living and the dead, even though, so also our Blessed Lady received this great grace to be the Mother of Grace, to be the co-redemptrix of the human race, to be the mediatrix of all graces, because of this great victory that she had in participating so intimately with the cross of Christ. And today we celebrate the stigmata of Saint Francis. And we find out what happens to you when you love God. He does not give you gold. What does he do? He gives you a greater and more intense participation in his holy cross. The same cross that he gave to his son, the same cross that he gave to Our Lady, the same he gave to Saint Francis, and to each of you as he loves you. Because the purpose of this life is not to enjoy, it is to merit. It is to merit by the Holy Cross. It is to do good works. It is to avoid sin. It is to prove our love of God by the Holy Cross. Who are the people on our altars? Are they those who sought to enjoy life the most? Are they the ones that had the most pleasure in life? Who are the ones raised to our altar? It is the ones that were victorious, victorious in martyrdom, or victorious in their love of God by the strenuous manner, the heroic manner in which they loved God, and pick up any of their lives and find in them the Holy Cross. Saint Francis so loved God and was so hateful of his past sins and was so devoted to penance that God rewarded him with the crown of the stigmata. And only St. Paul had received that to our knowledge before, of having in his hands the imprint of the nails, the actual wound, and in his side the wound of the lance, and in his feet the wound of the nails. What a great sign of God's love for that man. And yet how he must have suffered with the pain of agony with those wounds of Christ. Your hand is so sensitive. And even when we put a little pin in it, it is full of pain. Imagine a whole nail going through the center of your hand. What pain that would be. And St. Francis merited by his love of God to feel the pain of Christ in his hands and in his feet and in his side. This is our holy faith. This is eternal life. This is the royal road of crucifixion. And that's why St. Paul says we must crucify our vices and our concupiscences, crucify our flesh. For one of the crosses that you must bear is the cross of obeying the commandments of God. Because your flesh has another code. Your flesh has other commandments. It has other impulses. And it must be, as St. Paul says, crucified in order to obey the law of God. So the cross is the center of our faith. Catholics live many times as if the center of our faith were to enjoy life. In the Diocese of Cincinnati now, it is forbidden to have a crucifix in the church. The priests have to take down the crucifixes in the church. The only time it is permitted to use it is during their services. So when you walk into what purports to be a Catholic church, there is no crucifix. So not only are they neglecting it in practice, now the Novus Ordo is neglecting it in theory. Now, just for those of you who are old enough to remember, imagine before the council, if you were sitting in church in the 1950s, and the priest got up in the pulpit and said, "The bishop of the diocese says that we must take down the crucifixes in the churches." Just imagine the gasp that would have been in the pews. And yet, that is exactly what has happened. The only difference is that they have done it gradually. It is another sign that they have altered our holy religion essentially, substantially. If you can't see it, you are blind. It is a different faith in those churches, a different religion. They have denied our blessed Lord crucified. Yet St. Paul says, "I preach Christ, and I preach Christ crucified." In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost. Amen.